Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Reformed Form. This is episode 233.
I always laugh to myself when I hear people say the times are getting worse, or when someone says, when I was a kid, things were not as bad. I know that they're not lying, and depending on the specific topic, they might even be right. I laugh because it is so true that for most people, the history of the world begins when they're born. Everything that happened before, it just doesn't seem to be relevant. Very soon after the early church was founded, false teachers arose, causing many problems among the people of God. Some were leaders and teachers in the church who taught false doctrine, false lifestyles, and did so to gain power and wealth. Paul challenged them, seeking to drive them out of the church. He even stood up to Peter for practicing a false doctrine with his lifestyle. The immorality of Rome at that time was far worse than we live in today, although we are getting closer. So what do we do when we see our society trending away from godly morality? Do we remain silent because they should be allowed to live their own life? Do we march in the street declaring our society should adopt the biblical laws of truth no matter what? More importantly, what do we do with those in the church that teach contrary to the Word of God? We will discuss these and other questions today on Theology Simply Profound.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Theology Simply Profound. I'm Bob Tarullo. I serve as pastor here at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Indian Head Park, Illinois. And with me, as always, is Rob McKenzie. Rob's an elder here at Westminster. Rob, how is it going?
Well, it's going great. It's good to see you. It's good to be back. It's good. We did not plan to be away.
We had an unplanned
six-week hiatus.
For our regular listeners, we apologize.
I've actually been on Crisis Center more often than I've been at TSP.
I apologize, Rob. I have not listened to that episode yet.
Everyone should have listened to that episode by now.
But we should listen to it to get a sense of your newest book, right? Seeker's Progress.
That came out at the beginning of June, Seeker's Progress. Getting a lot of good feedback about it. I'm really excited.
That's wonderful. There's been a couple of really good crisis centers. They're all pretty good.
They're all good.
But yeah. I just noticed the committee on CMC. All of a sudden, I forgot it. John Fickert was on. He's a member of our presbytery as well, and Committee for Ministerial Care. That's what I meant to say.
And my good friend Stephen Nichols.
Stephen Nichols was on, right? He was discussing his book on R.C. Sproul, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So lots of good stuff, but. The highlight has to be your book.
Well, it's the further attempt of Theology Simply Profound taking over the Reformed Forum.
Yeah.
We already control Reformed Media Review, and so now I'm taking over Crisis Center.
There you go. Well, if you get on there one more time this year, I might believe you, okay. Right? I might.
Okay. Well, you know, sometimes you have to step back and just pull the strings.
Yeah.
So we do apologize for not having been here. Seriously, I mean, there was one time that I was literally leaving my home to come here to record, and as I'm walking out the door, we had to cancel.
Yes.
And it just seems to keep going like that.
There were things like that. There were trips. There were unexpected deaths. Let's just say there was one death.
Yeah.
So Rob was walking out the door. I called him to stop because I just learned of my father's passing. And then had to do all sorts of things to be of service, of course, to my family. And so I was out of town. The session was very gracious. The church has been very gracious. I'm from the Northeast. I do not live in the Northeast. And so needed to be back with my family. And then there was already a planned vacation around visiting my family. And so continued that while dealing with the arrangements with my dad's funeral and being with my mom and sibling. So all sorts of things, ongoing prayers are appreciated for that. We are a couple weeks out now from that and back, not in the swing of things by any means, today being my first day back from vacation, which was really a whirlwind. It was good to see family and friends who came to the funeral, the people I had some good over 20 years, some high school friends and showed up for it. Yeah. One who is actually running for mayor of Albany, New York.
Really?
Yeah. And so, yeah, you can look that up. One of the mayoral candidates showed up. He did not show up for that reason. He showed up with another friend from high school, which was very good to see. But a lot of family I hadn't seen since I live at a distance. It's always good to see, you know, family, especially in times of need like that. But then saw a lot of spiritual family from the church that I served in Connecticut. We went down to visit. So if any of you guys are listeners, I know one of you are because you brought it to my attention that we hadn't recorded in a little while. I appreciate you listening. And hope that these coming back to it now to what is it? What are we doing? Oh yeah, Pilgrim's Progress, the second
right.
part.
Right, and yeah, and as for me, you left me in Crete.
I left you in Crete.
You left me in Crete, and you said I'll be back in a few minutes.
Yeah,
and I what happened?
Rob's, you know, why he couldn't get to recording was Rob moved across the world to this little island called Crete.
Crete, Illinois, rain that we've had, it's like a little island. Yeah,
we've been in the midst of the rain. I came home to water in the basement. Not a lot. We don't get flooding in my basement, thankfully, but my neighbors do. I mean, some of my neighbors get feet of water in their basement, similar to what I think you may have experienced in your previous home.
Yes, it was times. Well, the two times, really. But I used to get a lot of seepage.
Yes.
But then there were two bad times over 17 years, so that wasn't that bad. You had a little seepage in the Crete house, but...
It's water that needs to be removed, but it's not a lot. Like, we're in the basement now, and you can't really, it's not bad at all.
Yeah.
So anyhow, not to complain. This is to give a reason for why we are gone for so long. There are good reasons, and we're glad to be back. We do like doing the podcast. And, you know, Lord willing, we will figure out the technology that allows Rob not to have to drive up here an hour in order to record.
We tried
this morning and that falls all on me. And so I need to get the technical advisor, who happens to be Camden from Crisis Center, you know, the big kahuna of Reformed Forum, we'll call him.
Who is right now at the PCA General Assembly.
Yes, yes. If you are a listener from the PCA and at the PCA General Assembly, I'm sure you are there already and seeing Camden. And on the shelves there for sale, I think, or at least, I'd be great if they had your book, Rob. I hope your book is there. That'd be outstanding.
Just ask for it.
Also, there's Foundations of Covenant Theology, a biblical theological study of Genesis 1-3 by Lane G. Tipton.
Yeah.
The newest book
that has just
from
come out,
Reformed Forum.
Just came out, and we're so thankful it came out for this conference, especially.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, not conference, for the GA, right?
Well, GA conference, it's on. do I have to get technical now? Huh. I mean, Camden is there. Yes. He's in the place where the reps are.
Yeah, yeah,
so
right, right.
You, as a rep, you call it a conference.
Is that what you do?
Sure. I mean, they're all conferences.
All right.
If you're going to the GA, and next week we will be going to the OPCGA. Both of us will be going.
OPCGA starts up next week. Rob and I will be there, not as conference workers.
No, because for some reason the horrible, horrible people on the Committee of Arrangements decided that we would not have, we'll be allowed to have tables.
Yes. Well, at the time of planning, mm-hmm. It was still uncertain about mm-hmm. all sorts of requirements.
Oh, are you on the committee? Oh, I've
yes.
forgotten.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it slipped my mind.
Yeah, and all my brothers and the one sister who helps with our committee, I will have them listen to you say what you just said.
That's fine.
And you will not get any of your... No.
What's that? I'm not getting anything now.
No, we're going to remove you from the list. No. We are heading to the OPCGA next week. 2 years of labor that we need to work on. We got a full slate of issues to come before the GA. We have a deliberative assembly where all issues are debated on the floor appropriately. I mean, of course, there's committee work done beforehand. But that starts next Wednesday. Your prayers are appreciated for the assembly. There are many big issues coming before the assembly, including matters that come to us judicially, that come to us on appeal. The assembly is an appellate court of the OP. And so, yeah, lots happening.
Yeah.
And I am in the committee for arrangement. So, you know, what Rob just said, he's doing in jest, and I get it.
Whatever. But now we can get back. We, you know, it's one of the reason why, I mean, we do love doing the podcast. We love interacting with the listeners. And so, you know, keep the emails coming, even if the emails are, come on, let's go get a recording out there.
Yeah. Emails, mail at reformedforum.org.
And, but we've been going through, of course, the Second Book of Pilgrim's Progress. And we left Christiana and the group coming. They had been to the cross, and they had talked about the atonement and the sacrifice that Christ makes for us, and how glorious it is that he would save his people in such a way. And, you know, we get this Bunyan through his characters is showing us this awe, this reverence and awe that we have for Christ, that he would become one of us and redeem us so that we might be with him forever. Mm-hmm. And but now they've moved on. And one of the things that Bunyan does in the second part is it's kind of a I'm gonna answer all the questions that people have been giving me about Christian and what happened to these places that he had been, the people that he had encountered. Well, what happened to you know, so and so? And he kind of does that, gives all these updates as what's happening and you know, tying up loose ends.
Right. And this is one of them.
Yeah, this is one of them.
Where we're at now.
So Christian, when he went through, he walks and he passes by these guys that are on the sleep on the road. And the thing is, they're on the road. This is the Christian life. This is the narrow way, right? And they're there. And we find that. And if you go back and look at the first part, Pilgrim's Progress, you see people entering the road, climbing up over the wall, coming in other ways. And even right up until Christian goes into the celestial city, when he crosses the river, there are people that he's just encountered that have come that are not true pilgrims, but they've made it all the way. Mm-hmm. They've walked on that road and only to be turned away at the gate.
It's as though he's describing the visible church, right?
Which
has two groups of people in it, right? Believers and non-believers, the wheat and the chaff, and there is where they're separated at that point.
Right at the gate, right? Do you have your certificate? That's the key to coming in, the certificate, the seal of God, the redemption that is brought by Christ. And so they've moved on from the cross, and now where these people had been asleep on the road, they are now dead, hanging in cages over the road.
Mm-hmm. Is that in cages?
Yeah.
Wow. When I read through it, for some reason, I just got the image of hanging. Like they were.
They talk about that a lot.
Hung. Like as an execution. Is that not accurate?
I went back and forth because I thought the same thing. I'm not sure if they were hanging by the neck in the cage. I think that might be what's going on there.
Okay.
They're dead.
Either way, they're dead. They're hanging and dead.
Yeah. But I'm pretty, because I did the same thing where I read it first and I thought it was just they're hanging by the neck. But then it talks about them being in the cage, this iron, this metal cage. And, I don't know. I don't know completely.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it says, and behold, they were hanged up in irons a little way off on the other side.
Yeah, and that's where it sounds like they're just hanging and they're chained up. But there's another place where I thought they talked about a cage, and I might be misreading that. But they're dead. They're hanging over the road and they're dead. And, you know, Christiana and the other, that's the first thing they see when they turn this corner and there they are hanging there.
Right. There's an obvious challenge to them. What is going on?
Right.
Because they're just, didn't gloss over this. You were bringing us by way of a reminder, with great heart. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I found most fascinating and enjoyable about this, the portion we just left prior to this, is the affection that comes upon Christiana and Mercy for Christ. And that's how that's how Bunyan sort of puts it, and he does it in the side notes as well. He says, you know, Christiana is affected with the way of redemption. She hears of how she is saved, pardoned, redeemed, justified. And this is, you know, the most teaching moment, right, mm-hmm. on Christ and his righteousness mm-hmm. that we yeah. just left. And what Bunyan is attempting for us to show us is the effect this has on believers, how we are affected in the heart, how our longings become longings toward him. And she's, you know, she gets all excited, like, oh, I wish these people were here with me, you know, Timorous mm-hmm. and others.
Right, right.
And then he goes on to say, yeah, but not everyone is affected that way.
Right.
And that kind of sets you up for seeing these people hanging, because mm-hmm. obviously it didn't affect them, mm-hmm. right? They've heard of such things. They're right. in the visible church, right? They're on the path. They've right. heard of things, but it didn't affect them. They are, who are they again? They're simple sloth and presumption. They make mm-hmm. certain presumptions about it. They right. are slothful in their lives. They're not understanding at all what Christ has actually
and
done.
Specifically,
for them.
The Christian life.
Absolutely, yeah, 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 the Christian life. They don't get the things that have just overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Christiana and Mercy in their heart to such that they want to tell the world. They want everyone that they have just been in contact with in the City of Destruction. They want them to know about these things. You know, that's the that's how I'm taking it, right? These are the,
yeah,
you know,
no,
why they need to be here to hear these same things. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Greatheart's like, yeah, but not everyone responds the same way.
Yeah.
You know, and then essentially telling us, you know, the Spirit must be at work within these people. There must be a work of regeneration within them for them to feel this way, for them to have the same effect upon them. Mm. And when they turn the corner, then, you know, you have this affection in your heart for Christ, and all of a sudden there's dead people. And I see dead people.
No, it's a great point. And they're wondering, and you know, why they yeah. ask, why are they hanging?
Yes.
And here they, visible church. These are people who are in the church, but now as comes the aftermath. When Christian passed by them, they were in the church, but they were sleeping and they were lazy. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't care. For them, the things of God were something that they gave an assent to. Oh, yes, we're gonna go on this road. We're gonna take this journey. We believe these things are true. But it was all a fleeting head knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then the Christian life hit them and they went to sleep.
Yeah. Now, in a moment, I'd like to just read a portion yeah. of it. But it's not just that they did it to themselves, yes. right?
Right.
It's that they influenced others yes. as well. And that's right. So Greatheart explains this and Mercy asks a question. And that's what I'm about to read here. So Greatheart says... to Mercy and Christiana, these three men, simple, sloth, and presumptuous, these three men were men of very bad qualities. They had no mind to be pilgrims themselves, and whosoever they could, they hindered. They were for sloth and folly themselves, and whosoever they could persuade with, they made so too, and withal taught them to presume that they should do well at last. They were asleep when Christian went by, and now you go, they are hanged. Or excuse me, and now you go by, they are hanged. And Mercy responds, but could they persuade anyone to be of their opinion? And Greatheart says, yes. They were turned several out of the way. There was slow pace that they persuaded to do as they. They also prevailed with one short wind, with one no heart, and with one linger after lust, and with one sleepy head. And with a young woman, her name was Dull, to turn out of the way and become as they. Besides, they brought up an ill report of your Lord, persuading others that he was a taskmaster. They also brought up an evil report of the good land, saying it was not half so good as some pretended it was. They also began to vilify his servants and to count the very best of them meddlesome, troublesome busybodies. Further, they they would call the bread of God husks, the comforts of his children fancies, the travel and labor of pilgrims things to no purpose. What a devastating assessment of the life, the lives of simple sloth and presumptuous and what they did to these others, right? We have an example of these, which are more great names that Bunyan has come up with to describe those that seek or those that are in the church but have no aren't affected by who aren't really believers.
Right.
Devastating.
And Bunyan as a pastor,
he knew this is in the church.
Yeah. He might have given them different names here to describe what they're like, but he had them in his head of who they actually were.
Yeah.
And not just that they were not caring about the things of God, but that they were leading other people away. And I think that's actually one of the things when I was reading this, that really struck me is going back. This is why in my opening I talked about the early church, and here in the book of Acts and Corinthians and Galatians, and if we keep finding problems that popped up in the early church, not just little bitty problems, but really big problems.
Really bad stuff.
Lots of heresy that is going on in the church. And people that are pretending to be Christians just so they can get wealthier, they can enhance their own status. Mm-hmm. Something like that. People who were Jewish that were actually sneaking in. Oh, yeah, no, I'm a Christian. But they were only there because they wanted to see what this was all about. And so they can then go and get the Christians in trouble, which we find out later on in the book of Revelation. We hear about like the synagogue of Satan where the Christians themselves are being turned in to Rome by false accusation by the people that are part of the synagogue. If we want to go ahead another 30, 40 years from the time of Revelation, in the early part of the second century, we have what Pliny the younger, I believe, who is reporting back. Or I'm not sure if it's the elder or younger, but they're reporting back to Rome about he's a historian and he's going and he's researching Christians, and he's kind of writing back going, yeah, you know, we keep hearing that there's these orgies that go on, and I don't find really any evidence of that, and that they're cannibals, and they're all these accusations that had become common knowledge. Once they really investigated, they found out that actually wasn't true, and so the church itself, from within, has people that are trying to destroy it, and that doesn't just happen at the beginning of the church. It happens today, and we need to be careful. This is why we have church officers that are to examine people, and they're. We need to do so biblically, and we need to do so with grace. But we also need to remember that there are officers who also are included in the early church that are like Hebrews 6, where it talks about these people that were of us, they left us, but they were teaching. That's what most people would believe, that these were teachers within the church that have now abandoned the faith. That's not just then; that's now.
Yeah, what you're saying is accurate with regard to what was true then is true now and has been true right throughout the ages.
Right.
This goes to our own understanding that we live in the same redemptive historical time frame as the apostles did after the Pentecost. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of God has been poured out upon the church. And the next great redemptive event is the return of Christ, and we've been in these last days the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And in these last days means that all of these things are happening, right? There's false teachers, there's false living, and we see it in the record of the New Testament canon, and we see it in the record of church history, and we see it in the record of modern day newspapers, right? And in the minutes of churches, of disciplinary actions needed to be taken on regular folk for either false doctrine, but more likely and more often for false living.
Yeah.
And that leads from false doctrine, right? Where we see throughout the scriptures how, you know, doctrine leads to life, right? And how your doctrine goes, so your life will go, right? So if doctrine falls and becomes false, you can just bet that life is going to go that way as well. I mean, you see it in, from our own context. We see that very specifically with the doctrine that J. Gresham Machen was fighting over, and the early founders of, say, our denomination, the OPC, where theological liberalism was the highlight of the early 20th century. What is the fruit of that theological liberalism that has come about in mainstream, mainline Christianity?
Right, right.
Well, we see it today. We see it in the holding on to all of the perverse lifestyles that we see in today's world and saying, hey, yeah, this is what we're about. And well, that doctrine, losing the scriptures and everything that the scriptures teach leads to what we have now. So you don't leave churches because of the bad life. I mean, that might be if you become converted in that or something, but you leave it because of the bad doctrine, because it's going to lead to bad life. So all of these things are connected with regard to one's life. And so obviously, you know, pulling it back to Christiana and Mercy and Greatheart and him teaching about simple sloth and presumption is the sense that they obviously weren't grounded because they had no true Christianity. Yeah. And that led to this life of theirs, which is awful, right? And then them leading others away. Right. And so in the church, we're not perfect. Oh, by no means. Nope. And we will find ourselves doing things that we don't want. We repent, right? When we, whether it be officers or members, we are people full of repentance. We pray, but we also need to call people to the carpet as leaders in the church when that happens. Whether it's other leaders, mm-hmm. or whether it is, you know, people in the congregation who are moving away from what they need to do to be faithful, whether it be their life or in their teaching or their, whether life is reflective of their teaching or what they're believing. So,
yeah, I think it really comes when Bunyan brings out the fact that it wasn't just that they were like this, but they led other people to follow them in the way. That's, there's such a danger. This is why they're hanging. Mm-hmm. It's because they led other people away. And we live in a society now where the idea that you would ever look at anyone and say, you're wrong about X, it doesn't matter if the person saying you're wrong is 100% right. We are now viewed as being, oh, you're judgmental. Mm-hmm. You're wrong. As soon as you bring out and point out that something might be morally wrong, you are the one that is attacked.
Right. And I mean, ironically, right, mm-hmm. the only ones who are allowed to make stark objective judgments are those of the progressive new movement, right? I mean, speaking of people like us who hold to biblical orthodoxy,
right?
We are the ones who are wrong. We are the ones who aren't able to make moral judgments because our moral judgments and many and considered today are reprehensible,
right?
And are immoral. So, you know, saying what is good is evil. Saying what is evil is good.
Right.
Confusing those things, turning the created order upside down. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's God giving them over to their sinful desires, and God allowing these things to happen. And so, the church today has, you know, the similar issues as it did in the first century and throughout the ages, mm-hmm. but it, you know, things go up and down throughout the ages, and we're seeing sort of a transition of things, as you said earlier, right? Yeah. In your opening, you know, people only think back as far as their birth, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Or, you know, people who grew up in the 50s, you know, long for the 50s, the golden age when, you know, life was good in America. It wasn't necessarily good in Russia, though, right? Right. I mean,
that's true.
Right. Communist controlled at that time or other parts of the world. So golden ages are things that people try to look back upon, but it's an, you know, we can't do that.
Right. Well, it's understanding that the world has had sin in it since it's had sin in it,
yeah.
And that that's going to continue to corrupt society. We look, you know, was our society 20 or 30 years ago, 40 years ago, was it morally better than it is now? I'd say yes, it is, because there was still the Judeo-Christian understanding of truth that was put in the founding of our country that today has been swept away as far as what's being taught. Now there is no absolute truth.
Right. The foundations have been sort of washed away. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge that our foundations even then were a bit corrupted.
You go ahead.
I was just going to say, because I was thinking about, like, you know, ongoing segregation, things like that, that, you know, treated African Americans in a really, really poor way. Yeah. So those things are all sorts of, black marks on the mid-century life.
This is good. Now this is a rabbit trail for everyone. You're right. I totally agree with you. And we can absolutely look back to the founding of the country, and we can find faults contrary
really bad sins.
Contrary to the word of God, problems that were entered into it. But it's interesting to me that all I was saying was that the reason why we've gone into a state of moral ambiguity, and as long as you don't hurt somebody, whatever you want to do is fine. You can identify as whatever you want to identify as, all that, is because we've lost that foundation of truth that was put in.
Yeah.
And immediately you jumped to, but wait a minute. We also have to look at the fact that there were some things that were wrong with it. Well, I never said that was
you
perfect.
You didn't. Yeah. No, you didn't. Yeah. You're right. And you didn't say that. My point was simply to say golden ages aren't as golden as people remember them, right? That was my only point.
I'm only bringing it up as an example to how we've all become sensitively hardwired to immediately jump to, if we say something that's true, that's harsh, we immediately want to soften that with an admittance to something that was wrong.
I'm not sure if that's what I was doing. I just felt like I wanted to be nuanced, that's all. And acknowledge that it's not golden isn't golden. I think it is not good for Christians to look back and say,
if
only.
Absolutely.
I think as Christians, we need to look and say, what is our life to look like from the Bible's perspective? Yes. And that can be, and God is faithful through it all. Us dying to the lions or us living lives that we have now, right? That's my own point. The golden eras of Americana aren't what we should, as Christians, be looking forward to, to try to get back to, as though that is an ideal. That's my only point,
right?
And that's my only point.
And I guess the reason why I'm using that to bring this up is that we as Christians have to be willing to stand up in a peaceful, loving, but firm way and say, we just watched some sort of law that was passed. So we can stand up and we can say that is unbiblical and that it's morally corrupt. And we can say that without having to also say, now I know that the Christian church has actually done some bad things as well.
Sure.
There's a time for that. There's a time when we can look back at the sins within our society that are actual sins and should never have happened.
Yeah.
But there's also a time where we have to just say, no, this, what you're proposing, where our society is now promoting, is sinful and wrong, and we cannot allow it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a part of our notes are how to do that, right? I think is where Christians really disagree with, and how best to appropriately, as Christians, as the church.
Right.
So two different things there, right? Yeah. As Christians, individual Christians who are citizens of this nation, and as the church institution are to do it, right? Some have various, and even within our Reformed circles, there are various opinions of how to do that. Today, it seems as though, and I could be wildly wrong on this, and I'm happy to be corrected. It feels as though, to me, it's a bit not the best word, that understood proper way of expressing your disdain for something is to do it on social media.
Yes.
And that if you don't, then you're too quiet. That you are being quiet.
If you do, you're too opinionated.
Well, and if you do, then you're doing it the wrong way. Or you're doing it, you're too opinionated. And I just don't agree with that. And I know that, I don't know if you're on board, but I think you are, that you have to do it on social media in order to actually be public about something.
No. But I've heard people say that. Yeah, I have heard people say that. I don't understand it.
Yeah. That's the only, not the only, but the best public way of showing your either support or your lack of support for something, either through Facebook, Twitter, or some other. Yeah. I mean, there's got to be other social media outlets out there. But
Instagram and.
Yeah, that you can only do it visually, I think, right?
There's not just visually.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
I feel like an old fogey. My goodness.
It's because you are.
Yeah.
It's. You know, I saw an article, or it was a video actually, somebody had sent me about this woman who was at a spa and she was complaining because in the women's locker room, which had children, a man came in because he self-identified as a woman. Mm-hmm. And she was complaining because he walked in and got naked. And here's these children and all these people, all these women that don't want. And she was complaining about it. And the people who own the spa were saying, well, that person identifies as a woman.
Right.
And the woman complaining was having none of that. And at one point, and this is what I found the most interesting, is that the man behind the desk was saying, well, there's a law. We have to let her, because she identifies as a woman, into the locker room. Well, there really isn't a law that he can point to that at a private spa you have to do that. But it was interesting that the moral nature of that, the illogical nature of that, had nothing to do with his answer. There's a law. Mm-hmm. There's a law, so then nothing we can do about it. And churches today, and individuals as well as organizational churches, but still the church today is being challenged within our society that either you accept whatever
the new moral code,
right. You accept our moral code and we will enforce it by law, or you need to be silent.
Yeah.
And I agree with you completely that we don't need to be going to social media every time we want to voice our opinion, or you're not voicing your opinion. Whether or not anybody should ever go to social media is a different subject. Yeah, it's probably our times.
People have the right to do it.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. Yeah, the right to do it. As long as you think it's actually going to help something, I don't have a problem with it. But there is coming, we are coming more and more to a day when we are going to have to make the choice. Are we going to be vocal against? Because we're going to live in a society where we're either going to have to capitulate, which we already do. I mean, and that was my point, that Christians, the people of God, have always lived in a society where they're being challenged to capitulate to the ways of the world, the sinful. We talk about the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of Satan is always trying to get the world to adhere to his kingdom and to reject the kingdom of God. And so here within the church, you know, these people that Christiana and them see, they see the end. The end result for these people is judgment. When Christian came by, they were still active in the church. Now, they were asleep on the road because they were asleep spiritually. But we find out now that they did harm by bringing people. And what were they saying? They were talking about the truth of Scripture, saying, you know, Jesus, God, he's too harsh.
Yeah.
Look at all these rules that he gives us. We don't need to obey those things. Look, you can just, look, come and live as we're living. Look, we're in
and
the
you'll
church.
Be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem. And their end result is judgment.
Right. The way that the scriptures speak of Christ, that's not the way you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So did God really say? Right. I mean, essentially,
yeah.
question, bringing
yeah.
that into question.
No,
right. And not only did they speak in those terms, but that questioning his goodness to them,
mm-hmm.
questioning that God is really a good God. And that then turning these people away from the right path, away from Christ, away from the church, the true church. And that's what brought about destruction for them. That's what brought about their death,
mm-hmm.
Their discipline, let's just say. Judgment is better in this regard. And that's something we all have to be careful about.
Yeah.
That's something we have to be mindful of in the church and how we live and how we proclaim what we speak, what we teach, what we are willing and not willing to do as believers, right? What will our testimony be about God? Will it remain mm-hmm. faithful to his word as he has revealed himself to be? I mean, even yeah. saying that in some company
yeah.
gets you into trouble.
Yep.
And that is how he has revealed himself. And so we yes. have no right
yep.
to change his revelation about himself,
mm-hmm.
lest we fall under the same judgment.
Right.
Right.
And though the whole world is pressuring us to do that,
right.
we need to stay true to Christ.
Yeah.
One of the central themes that Bunyan brings out in both books.
I'm just so glad we got back to Bunyan. Go ahead.
Sorry. Is this here's the road. Here's the road. It's straight, it's narrow, and it's straight, and you stay on this road. And Christian kept getting pulled off. Worldly wise men. He was going to go live in the town of morality. He was going to go check it out, and he was pulled back from that. He leaves the road when they end up in Doubting Castle. He and hopeful, he says, look, the road that we're walking on is hard and rocky, but you know, if we just over this wall here, it's a soft grass, soft mm-hmm. ground. We'll be better on our feet. And look, it goes right along the way. We can always see the path we're supposed to be on. So there's no doubt that we'll be okay. And they go. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? It starts to get further and further away. And then all of a sudden it gets dark and they can't see it anymore. And they end up in Doubting Castle. And so there's always this temptation for the Christian to be pulled away from the path that we are shown.
Yeah. And the example of that would be, right, in our context, in Western Christianity's context, would be to turn your attention away from the scriptures and to allow for mm-hmm. all of the worldly stuff that we are against, right? To just sort of, you know, what is really so bad with, you know, isn't love just love?
Right.
Right. And that's just one very, you know, that's one statement, but why not just bring in all of these things that yeah. that the new sexual revolution says is just all good? Mm-hmm. Why not just teach things that make everybody feel good?
Mm-hmm.
Because isn't that just going to be an easier way? Won't that be much more comfortable? Won't we find much less resistance?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
maybe you will.
You know, but you'll also find eternal judgment.
Right.
Right. And that's what simple sloth and presumption find themselves in. That's what the others, off the cuff, slow-paced, short wind, no heart, linger after lust, sleepyhead, and dull mm-hmm. find. That going in that direction, being dull about the scriptures, being sleepy about your spiritual attentiveness and your spiritual life, which all of these things, I think one way or another, we have been tempted, if not fallen into as Christians. Mm-hmm. The difference is that we get woken up by God's Spirit and we repent and we turn from such things.
Right.
And we you know, cry out to God, have mercy upon my soul. I believe, help my unbelief, right? Yeah. And we turn back to the path, and we walk before God, we pray mm-hmm. in faith, not looking after the stuff around us, not living by sight and sight alone. It'd be easy to do this. I see that. That's mm-hmm. good. That looks good to me. That looks great to eat and taste. But live by faith. So God says, no, that's not good. You eat that. It's poison. Right? That will be a curse if you eat that. That'll be awful to your soul if you go in that direction. Live by faith, not by sight. Live by the things, by the word of God, the yep. things that I am teaching you, not by the thing that the world is, that the devil wants you to bend the knee and bow before him, and then he'll give you everything. Right? I mean, the temptations right. that he brought to Jesus, temptations that we too ourselves have. Anyway.
Well, like you said, I mean, when you go through the Pilgrim's Progress yeah. with Christian, he kept doing things that were wrong,
yeah.
and then he would be brought to repentance, and he would chasten himself because he didn't do the things that he had been told he had mm-hmm. sinned. When he was in Doubting Castle, how long was he in there? Weeks, and then all of a sudden he comes out and says, "Oh, you know what an idiot I am! I've had the key with me the whole time, and it is the very word of God."
Yeah.
And that's the difference between the Christian life where there's sin and there's failings, and those who claim Christ but are not truly converted, mm-hmm. they end up hanging because they were asleep the whole time. Their only results in the Christian life was to lead other people into sin.
They were never spiritually awake.
Right.
Truly.
Right. They never were. It's interesting, Chris, just in everything we've been talking about yeah. And part of the reason why I wanted to bring up some of this mm-hmm. was that Christiana's response to these men hanging is they got what they deserve mm-hmm. and others should learn from their end. Mm-hmm. And we can say that, we should say that in this way. They got what they deserve, not in a, I'm so glad.
Mm-hmm. A haughty way or anything.
Right,
yeah.
But in a lamenting, you know, in agreement with God, God was just mm-hmm. in this judgment. And in fact, I deserve to be there well, but God has had mercy on mm-hmm. me. And that's, you know, Christianity is saying they got, it's a statement of fact. Mm-hmm. They got what they deserved. When we as Christians, and we might not need to use those words, but when we as Christians today stand up and say, unless you repent and believe, you will enter into judgment and you will perish for eternity. Mm-hmm. When we say that, no matter how nicely we say that, the people in our society are going to look at us and say, well, you're not supposed to judge. Mm-hmm. Who are you? Well, you know, you're just narrow-minded.
Yeah.
And right. we're just going to be attacked. But as long as we know that the truth that we are repeating is the truth from the word of God, then we need to have confidence in saying it.
Yeah, I mean, all you're doing there is a statement of fact from God's
right.
word, right? I mean, it's not making any judgment upon any particular person. That person might repent.
It's speaking. Right? It's speaking a judgment, though.
It's speaking truth.
But it's not yours.
No, it's not your judgment.
God's.
Right? It's God's judgment. Yeah. You're not making a judgment call upon that person's soul. You're saying if you do not repent,
right? Yes.
This is what is going to happen. Now, that
right.
doesn't mean you can't make judgment calls, right? That's
right.
not what I'm saying. But
right.
what the example you gave is not your judgment.
Right.
It's God's judgment.
Right.
Upon a person who does not repent. It's a statement of fact of what God will do. The wages of sin is death, right? That is a statement of fact. And so but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? There are
right.
two statements of fact right there. But you know,
right.
If you are remaining in your sin, then it's death. If you receive the free gift of God, it's life.
Right. right? Well, because the judgment that Christiana makes here is an after-the-fact judgment.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
They're dead.
Right.
And they got what they deserved. That's a statement of fact.
Yes.
And then her next statement is, and we should learn
yeah.
from their example,
mm-hmm.
that unless we
right.
live, if we live like that, we're also going to die. We're also going to be judged in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, modern day context, right? We don't have civil or corporal punishment for, you know, church things, right? Yeah. And so how, what's the akin to this? The, you know, it's excommunication. Yeah. It's those who go in a particular life direction that eventually results with of them being cast out of the church. Right.
Because they're unrepentant.
Because of unrepentance, yeah. Which is evidence of unbelief, right? And so as best as the church is able to assess. And so they are cast out of the church. And so the look, children, look, people of God. This is the result of going in that direction, right?
Yeah.
It is being cast out of the fellowship and the communion of the saints. It is being cast out of the fellowship and the communion with God, right? That is the result of going down this direction, right? Yeah. That's the same thing with simple, soft, and presumptuous here. Going down that same direction leads to death, leads to no communion with God. What do we mean by that? Eternally. Right. That is what is, you know, that's use this. We need to see this as an example. You need to see that as a warning, children, people of God. That's why an excommunication would be a public thing, you know, not something you just, this person just, he left the church. They're gone. Oh, we're not going to tell you about all the other things. Yeah. It needs to be known so that it can be understood that way.
Right. Well, in one sense, that's the gospel. The gospel is offensive. So we go within this world. And what I mean when we go, I mean, as we live our lives, as we're living our lives, we are to proclaim the things of God when we're given the opportunities. And we do so in love for others. We do so with love for Christ, and we do so with respect. Now, there are times when the circumstances will call for a firmer response than others. Sometimes we need to respond very softly with almost as in what we don't want to break the broken reed kind of thing. But there's other times where we stand up and we say, no, that is wrong because God's word says it's wrong, but we still do so in love. No matter what kind of volume we're using or aggression we're using, because there's times that you have to be forthcoming and say, look, this is the truth of God. We always do so in love. But the gospel itself is offensive. And that's where you were talking about these churches that the OPC is kicked out because liberalism has chased it away. And what do we see a lot of these churches that had adopted the liberalism of that time? They've capitulated to society. They've given up. They've thrown over the word of God. They've capitulated to all these things that we would say, no, that's contrary to the word of God. Well, they've lost the gospel. Mm-hmm. If there is someone that, if there's an organization that says we are the church of God and they're not offending anyone, then they've lost the gospel because we've been told that the gospel is offensive. But it's not us offending people. It's the truth of the word of God that is offensive. But on the flip side, the gospel is also the very message of God that we've been given that we are to go and preach throughout the world. And glorious things happen. When the gospel is preached and the people of God are converted, it's no longer an offense. It's the actual aroma of life to the people who are being saved. And so if somebody says, well, you're being offensive because you've shared the gospel, but you've done so in a loving way, you don't feel bad. Mm-hmm. Feel bad for them. But don't feel as if you've done anything wrong. And then glorify God when you preach the gospel in the same way to someone else and they repent and believe. It is a glorious thing to be used by God in his kingdom.
Well, once again, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Of course, you can find us at reformforum.org, and you can see all the wonderful resources that we kind of hinted at and talked a little bit about at the beginning of this episode. And if you want to interact with us about this episode or any of our other episodes, please do feel free to contact us at mail@reformedforum.org. And to find out more about the congregation that Rob and I serve, you can head out to westminsteropc.org. Or for other OP congregations in the Chicagoland area, you can go to chicagoreformed.org. Rob, do you happen to know what's up next time?
Well, next week, or our next episode yes. on...
next time. I can't our so next time. We don't know when we're going to be
our
back.
Our next time, we'll be continuing with Christiane, and we go uphill.
We're going uphill now.
Going uphill.
All yeah. right. Well, again, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Until next time.